The idea of lighting up a doobie for medicinal purposes sounds fantastic. I'm stressed, I'll take a toke. Right on. I'm in pain. I'll toke a little more. Unbelievable. I can't sleep. Yeah, you got it. Just a few tokes away from a night of blissful rest. The problem with that idea is, well, it doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. Medical cannabis has many potentials and it has some pitfalls. And the study of cannabis and health is so new that we're only just getting started in our understanding of the chemical properties and the way our bodies respond. Just like any other drug, how those chemicals act and react in your body is different from how they will react in mine. The science of pharmacogenomics is a new one and it plays a role. And the study of cannabis is even newer because up until Canada made cannabis legal, research was illegal. In other words, we know only a sliver of the scientific information we need. And then what about drug interactions? How does cannabis react to a statin you're taking for your heart or your diabetes medication? And should you use CBD or CBG or CBN, or should you consume cannabis with THC? Then, how do you dose and how often? It's a complex series of questions and elements that you have to understand. John C. is a pharmacist specializing in medical cannabis. I invited him to join me for a conversation that matters about how and when to use cannabis as medicine. John, welcome.
Thank you.
You became fascinated or focused on medical cannabis because you had some of your own reasons, but you are a pharmacist and you started to look at the science of this. How complex is it for us to truly understand how cannabis is going to work for us as a medicine?
Stu, you know, cannabis is a wonderful plant, but it's extremely complicated. And I will say that cannabis is not for everybody. It is an individualized medicine, mm-hmm. or product, I should say, that has medicinal properties. We don't call it a medicine because technically it hasn't gone through what we know as clinical research and all the control studies, the randomized control studies that we as health professionals deemed as a proven product with therapeutic benefits. What we do know though in cannabis is it has a tremendous amount of what we call adjunctive therapy or supportive therapy, symptomatic relief benefits. It could have medicinal benefits, but we still got to do more studies.
Oh, so why is it important that we understand that difference between it actually being a medicine and being really a supportive therapy?
It's more of a technical description for people like us, healthcare people that have been trained in what we call the exact sciences, because we've been brought up and trained through our years of education that we got to look for randomized clinical studies. Those are things that we as healthcare people look for. Now, the subtle difference is we do know from history and that cannabis is good to lower the eye pressure for glaucoma. We know it's been used for pain. We know it's been used as an anti-nauseant, as an appetite stimulant, to remove the stiffness in muscles in rheumatoid arthritis or the tremors in Parkinson's. But the most startling one where it really pushed cannabis to light is parents using it for children with epilepsy that traditional medicines cannot treat. And that's how it's really generated a lot of awareness in the last number of years. So you might have heard of Charlotte's Web, right? And it's really mm-hmm. named after a patient called Charlotte because she was the one who really was having 20, 30, 40 seizures a day. And when she started using medical cannabis, she was controlled, and it was, you know, 2 to 3. And it's what a quality of life change for the parents. But we then, as healthcare professionals, are still looking for where is the randomized clinical trials. We don't have that yet. We hope to have it coming, but it's going to take time.
Well, it's going to take a lot of time. You know, so you talk about that list of, you know, different, diseases or afflictions that somebody may have, there isn't a one size that fits all is going to work for any one of those. So how does an individual know what's the right thing to do? Do you run down to your dispensary at the end of the block and say, yeah, you know, what's the best bud for me to be able to buy? Or do you seek out the advice of a medical professional?
Absolutely. So let's separate the discussion to the recreational or adult use category, and we can always come back to that in a sec.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the medical side.
Right.
Or when you're using it for health-related reasons or address health reasons. And in those situations, we like to see where your dose is pretty consistent and controlled. So we know how much you're getting, what you're getting, how you're getting it. Now, when you talk about earlier, take a toke or puff, well, it's very hard to measure dose when you inhale. Because how deep you inhale, how much do you use, and what are the dry buds, and what is that strain of that mixture of that cannabis plant?
Exactly.
None of those are controlled. It is so then what happens is, as healthcare practitioners, we like to avoid smoking and inhalation, because when you burn a product, there are still chemicals in there.
Right.
Not to the extent where it's bad, like nicotine and tobacco. But we still don't know.
So when you're putting smoke into your lungs, which is antithetical to the idea that it would be for medicinal purposes.
Now, yes, we agree. So as healthcare practitioners, we like to see you take it orally, right? In a capsule, in an oil, in different forms. Now, having said that, there are reasons at times you may need to do. So let me backtrack. Let me define it. There are people that have pain. For example, you use it for pain.
Right.
And if pain comes on, if you take it orally, there's a delay in in the effectiveness of the product for an hour. However, the length of that effectiveness is about 6 to 8 hours. But if you inhale it, the onset is about 15 minutes, but it only lasts for 2 hours.
Right.
So there are ways, we're working on new formulations. There are, believe it or not, research going on inhalers, like puffers. With cannabis.
So you're still taking it into your lungs, which then pumps into your heart and then quickly into the body.
Into the lungs and absorbed into your body and affect right away.
Right.
There's what we call sublingual, so underneath the tongue, where it dissolves faster. The blood vessels under your tongue is that much closer for you to absorb into your bloodstream that much quicker.
So if you're taking CBD as an oil, for instance, would that be the best way to consume that?
Okay. So there's formulations, right? So that's why it goes back to you need healthcare advice, because there's formulations on how you could put under the tongue to absorb. But the other...
How you put it under your tongue? Put it under your tongue, but how you do it.
You put it under the tongue, you got to leave it for a minute without swallowing it, and also, if you use it or take it with a fatty meal, like avocado on toast, that fattiness helps it even absorb better when it reaches the stomach. Then we have even started with, what is the strain? The mixture of the strain. What is the dose? How do you titrate, meaning you stepwise increase the patient to an effective dose that will help them provide the symptomatic relief? Is it for pain? Is it for nausea? So there's it's a complicated matter.
Oh, I know. And so, it's not for the faint of heart. And it's, you're best not to teach yourself how to drive this vehicle.
Yes. And then we haven't even covered drug interactions, and cannabis interactions. So there's a whole, and where we believe doctors, but especially pharmacists, because pharmacists look at a patient's medication day in and day out. We know exactly what you're taking, when you're taking, how much you're taking. So when you look at cannabis and you look at the dosing of cannabis, well, pharmacists are so used to dosing products, but there is it's still new for them. So we do have a solution to help guide pharmacists on how to do that. But let's just talk about the interaction, drug-cannabis interaction first. We know that cannabis is eliminated through the liver, through what we call the P450 system. Within the P450 system, the four cell pathways.
Okay.
So when you're eliminating cannabis, your other drugs that you take is either eliminated through the kidney or the liver. There are a lot of drugs eliminated through the liver. And when you eliminate through the liver and cannabis, you're competing for the same pathways. So in that case, it slows it down, and it may slow down the elimination of those drugs that we know you're taking. While we're still learning a lot about cannabis, we do know a lot about the existing drugs that you're taking.
Yes.
And those existing drugs that you're taking, there are ones we would call narrow therapeutic index, meaning too low, it doesn't work. Too high is toxic. And we know those drugs really well. So we look at those drugs to say, hey, do we need to monitor you on the on those drugs? Is your blood levels changing? Are the effectiveness levels changing? Because cannabis is already eliminating.
Oh my God.
So cannabis is safe, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But we also gotta always look at your other drugs that you're taking.
So how do you figure that out though? You know, we're talking about the fact that cannabis is such a new, you know, element in the, you know, the whole, you know, suite of medical treatments that are available to us. How do we start to figure this out with some kind of certainty and safety for the patient?
So we've taken something pretty unique, what we called, we've taken a concept of machine learning, AI, big data. We looked at real world evidence, real world data, and we've put it together into an intelligent system that is supporting a pharmacist, of doctors, of nurse practitioners, because these are people who are dealing with medical cannabis for the patient. And as a result, we have a database that will warn pharmacists of the drug cannabis interactions that could occur. So you need to monitor and flag the patient. We also have information on how to start the patient, what's the most appropriate product given the condition the patient needs, because if you have pain, so you have a blend of THC and CBD, but if you have you want for other treatments, well, sometimes a more CPD high ratio and you need very little THC. So
right.
there's a ratio that we manage in a dosing and a mixture. But there also, very importantly, is work. We all got to function. We got to all function during the day. THC is what we call the euphoric product, or the one that gives you the high, but it also makes you drowsy. As a result, you don't want it while you're operating a vehicle, while you're at work. So we may have to split the product into two, and you only use the THC portion when you're at home and operating machineries, and drowsiness is not a concern.
I've heard about CBD. CBG.
That's right.
CBN.
That's right.
I have no idea what the difference is. And how do you decide what is the appropriate medication for you to consume?
So the whole class is called cannabidiols, right? THC is one of them.
Yeah.
CBD is another. CPG, THCVA. Mm-hmm. They're all different components because the cannabis plant has up to 500 different components in it. And there's another class called terpenes. Terpenes gives it this flavor, the coloring, but we also know terpenes have a medicinal properties. We just don't know yet. We're still doing research.
Which are independent from...
That's right.
Oh my gosh.
So your dominant is CBD and THC. And then THCV and then CPG are the other ones that are starting to come on that we're learning. Mm. But really when we focus right now, a lot of it is basically on CBD and THC. That's the most prominent ones.
Right.
As we learn and build our learnings, our database, and our effectiveness of what the product does for each and every patient, for the conditions that they use it for.
You've spent your career as a pharmacist,
yes,
and now you're specializing in this alone. And I can understand why it requires that you focus all of your energy on trying to make sense of all of this so that you can deliver with certainty the right dose of the right product for your patient. You talked about the fact that we're, you know, just at the beginning of starting to build this database. Does that get us to the point where, I think the same thing we're trying to do with pharmacogenomics is we're trying to make sure that we get the right dose for the right patient at the right time.
Correct.
Are we going to be able to get to that point with cannabis?
Yes.
Really?
The short answer is yes, but it needs data points, right? And the key though with cannabis is it's already in the marketplace. People are using it. Some are using it just fine. Others are using it very incorrectly.
Yeah, because they're self-prescribing.
Absolutely. And so what we need to do is clinically track these patients, support them through the medical channels, so we continue to document and simply, right? To document simply, to drive that real-world data, real-world evidence. Because we need to to build up our knowledge. And unfortunately, we don't have, because patients are already using it, and it's not the traditional drug development route where there's, you know, anywhere from 5 to 12 years of clinical studies before the product comes up, you know, a drug product comes out into the marketplace. Well, cannabis is already being used by a lot of people.
Right.
And at the same time, there are individuals that will benefit from it, like cancer patients, palliative care patients. They will benefit today.
For a much improved quality of life.
The quality of life is, you know, it will really help people with the quality of life. And we shouldn't wait in those situations because we do know it's safe. Now, there are clinical studies. I got to say, tell you, there are already clinical studies on cannabis in the marketplace that we have and we have access to around the world.
Yeah.
But they're smaller, right? They're like 35, 75 people. The smaller studies, not the large clinical trials that we're so used to. So we do have scientific information we can fall back on, just not as much as we would like, so we continue to build it.
So what would be a step-by-step process that you would recommend that somebody follow?
So what I would recommend is, of course, it's a decision for the patient, by the patient with the physician. I think that's the first and foremost, and it must be decided that way. Pharmacists are here to support the network and the process. Should get what we call a medical document, which is just like a prescription. Then the patient goes to the pharmacy, of which, you know, I got to tell you that Ontario, as an example, Ontario College of Pharmacists mandated every pharmacist in order to be relicensed for April 2021, or was it? Sorry, it might have been April 2020. That the pharmacist had to take a certified cannabis education course. Otherwise, you do not get relicensed, which is fantastic, because now pharmacists have a baseline knowledge on how to do that. So, and then that's where we come in. Mm-hmm. With a bit of baseline knowledge, we have our system. We call our system CRIS, Cannabis Recommendation Information System. It's a clinical decision support tool that the pharmacist will then put in all the parameters, what the patient's taking, their existing medications that, you know, and the patient's particulars, your age, your height, your, you know, are you cannabis naive? Have you had cannabis before? Because that affects what a starting dose is just.
Are you naive?
Exactly.
You haven't had it before.
Absolutely.
New to your body, okay.
and what are you treating it for? Because as I said to you, depending if it's pain versus nausea versus whatnot, we have different ratios, different products in our tinctures and our oils that we can choose from. So from that, all these inputs will provide a list of products that are more orally based, meaning capsules or oils and pills for that matter.
Or what about gummies? Is there a benefit to that? Because an awful lot of people go, oh yeah, here's, take it as a gummy bear.
A gummy bear is like vitamins. It's a dosage form. It's a route of administration.
Yeah.
However, my personal opinion is we try to avoid the gummies because if you believe this is a medicine or you want to use it to treat a medical condition, we really should treat it as such. So that it should not be a confectionery type of philosophy.
Right.
So I think from that
perspective, we're not playing doctor, we're actually delivering a therapy.
Exactly, yeah. And so we prefer the oils and the capsules. Why I keep saying oil is it allows us to adjust the dosage quite easily, right? By saying how many drops or how many mils, and that's how we adjust your dosage as we bring you up to what we call steady state, because your body needs to get, like all drugs, your body needs to slowly get used to it because it does have some sleepiness, you know, and it is an individualized product or plant or a medicine.
Yes.
Because what may work for you may not work for me. Dosage for you might be a little bit different than it's for me. So from that perspective, it's easier for us to dose if it's in an oil form. Then the pharmacist will be able to help the patient choose appropriate product, provide a recommended starting dose and titrate them through and monitor the effectiveness. And at the same time, in the background, do the drug-cannabis interaction.
Right.
Then the final thing, in Canada, the medical process is very, very complicated. is very, very disjointed as well.
Confusing.
And confusing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's a process by which you need to find a grower, you need to Health Canada approved grower, you need to order, you need to register, then you need to order, and it gets shipped to you in the mail. Well, the way we've built what we've done to help pharmacists and the patient streamline this whole process is we've worked with the growers to make sure that the products are in our database, because, let me tell you one more piece, because it's a plant and it's organic, we have what we call batch-to-batch variations.
Yes.
So one growth and one production may have a different strength compared to the next batch. So we actually even monitor that in the background, mm-hmm. because if it's already working for a patient and you stabilize on it, and if there's a change in the next order that you get, then we need to adjust for that and we need to monitor that.
So we're able to monitor that and do all that because we are now operating in a legal environment in Canada.
Correct.
You know, before I run out of time here, not all pharmacists, you talk about in Ontario, they have to have this, taken this course, but not all pharmacists want to engage in this. So let's direct them to you because you are focused on this. How can somebody get more information and work with you or within your network? Where can they go?
So basically, Stu, there are healthcare practitioners, doctors, nurses, pharmacists who believe that there's a role in medical cannabis, and there's ones who don't. Mm-hmm. And I think it's gonna take time, but I think everybody will believe in it. So what we've done is we're working with drugstores, we're working with drug chains, and we're putting our system into the stores, and we'll alert all the doctors that these stores and these markets have our system to help people access medical cannabis, because the one other piece that we need to be aware of is since the introduction of edibles into the recreational adult use stores that we have in British Columbia and across the country, what we've noticed is there's less and less availability of the oils and the capsules for medical purposes, because of course on an adult use side, the edibles, the chocolates, and the other products are more favored and preferred for a recreational user.
Right. A website, though. Let's direct somebody to a website where they can find out more information.
Our website is www, the number 3, the number 6, you spell 8, EIGHT, technologies.com.
Right.
That's our corporate site. And
that's how they can get in touch with you. And yes. Then that can open a gateway to finding out more information and how to move forward in a way that is going to be as safe as possible for anybody who makes this choice, that this is going to be a good therapy for them.
Absolutely. I'm a passionate pharmacist, and we work with pharmacy, and we think pharmacists are in the best position to support patients. And call us and we'll help. We'll gladly direct and support.
Great.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Unfortunately, we're out of time, but thank you for coming in and opening the door to the complexity of medical cannabis.
Thank you.
Thanks.